Inserting a fresh ammo clip into his AK-47 assault rifle, Baron Gaza snarled a guttural curse as the tumbling machine crashed into a million pieces, wires and gears flying wide and far. Then there came a crackling electrical explosion from within the wreckage, and an oily cloud of dark smoke rolled skyward.
Try to chill me, will ya, you fucking tin can?
The pieces jumped and danced from the incoming barrage of rounds, but no other result was achieved from the expenditure of ammo. A grunt caught his attention, and Gaza turned to look at Allison still in the turret of the APC, an arm draped across the 25mm cannon, its multiple barrels visibly radiating heat. He arched an eyebrow, and she asked a silent question. Shrugging in response, Gaza went back to looking at the city below, now searching for any sign of Kathleen. Studying the littered street, the man saw a movement in the shadows and started to swing the Kalashnikov that way when a breathless Kathleen raced into view, her arms cradling a LAW rocket launcher, the plastic tube fully extended for immediate firing. Scanning the desert above, she looked quizzically at the Baron until he pointed downward and his wife tracked to where the droid lay smashed amid the salt and concrete. Exhaling deeply, Kathleen sadly shook her head over the incident, then started back toward the convoy in the parking lot. There still was a lot of ammo and fuel to harvest before it would be time to sing the passing of her beloved sister. Business came first, then mourning, and eventually, sweet revenge. Caught by surprise by the rain of muties, the companions were forced to withhold using their blasters out of fear of hitting one another at such close quarters. Even as Ryan ducked and dodged out of the way, the hooting Stickies charged. With his back to the rock wall, the one-eyed man fired the Stire only inches from the face of a mutie, the muzzle flash washing over the distorted features and seeming to drive it away more than the 9mm round that punched through its head. Rushed from both sides, Jack dropped the cumbersome Winchester and jerked both hands straight out. With hard thuds, knives slammed into the throats of the two Stickies, cutting off their terrible cry. Then, grabbing the Winchester again, Jack raced between them, firing at another heading for Mildred from behind. At the noise, the woman turned and fired, the combined impacts killing the creature. Shoving the Webley into the belly of a rushing creature, Jack fired the big boar hand cannon, blasting open its abdomen. But as the mutie was thrown backward, the blaster went along, pulled from his grasp by even the brief contact with the gelatinous ooze of the dreaded Sticky. Firing his shotgun twice, JB blew two of the muties into each other. They fell in a tangle of limbs, then stood again without any problems, their damn secretions obviously not adhering to their own kind. Slicing out with a bayonet on the end of a Remington, Mildred tried to gut the monster facing her, but the blade went in only so far before becoming bogged down inside the guts of the creature. As the sucker-covered hands went for her face, Mildred triggered the blaster as a distraction, then shoved the Remington as hard as she could, making the Sticky stagger away as it took the weapon along, buying a few feet of precious distance. Free for a moment, the companions unleashed a hellstorm of lead, peppering the hooting creatures in the head and driving them from the cliff. But even as the companions scrambled for some combat room, the surviving Sticky started forward again, already altering their naked bodies to meld with the scenery. One male standing on the pavement in the salt was morphing into black asphalt on the left and sparkling crystals on the right. The effect was more than disconcerting.
Force them into the open street! Jack, light them up!
While the others formed a ragged line to discharge volley after volley of rounds to drive off the creatures, Jack pulled out the Molotovs and started to throw them. The first hit the ground between the two groups to keep the muties at bay, but the next two bottles arced down directly onto the creatures, the glass shattering as it hit the ground and splashing them with the fiery contents. One Sticky caught a Molotov in the chest, and the bottle just stayed there, the burning rag fuse hanging impotently. Then Dean triggered his Browning, shattering the glass. Burning fuel engulfed the Sticky, and it hooted wildly as it started running about blindly. Coming through the pool of fire, the creature headed for Christy. The woman dodged frantically, and it collided with a rusty mailbox, instantly trapped by its own resinous secretions. Even as it burned alive, the skin was turning bright orange and red to match the colors of the fire. Incredibly, one more sticky fell from the cliff to land near the companions. Moving fast, Doc threw a fistful of salt into its face, and Ryan grabbed a bent curtain rod from a pile of junk and used the pole to beat the sticky into the growing pyre. The stench coming from the frying muties was horrendous, their anguished hooting getting louder all the time. But the companions stood their ground with blasters at the ready until the thrashing creatures finally succumbed into quiet death.
Mother Gaia! Hellhounds would be easier to ace than a sticky.
Stay razor, people. There could be more of them.
Probably not.
Mildred glanced into the rock shadows overhead and in the wreckage piled outside the city.
The food supply in the desert is too meager to support many of these creatures. Big as a human usually means a human-sized appetite.
Doesn't mean that for sure, though. We best stay together. That'll reduce the chance of another muti slipping in close.
Camo stickies. Thought I'd seen it all.
There is a first time for everything, John Barrymore.
And a last.
Her steel blaster felt warm and familiar in her grip, but the woman drew no comfort from the weapon. This ancient metropolis was quickly becoming a city of death in the present. How many more battles would they have to survive before they could leave? But she already knew the answer to that question. Too damn many. Thumbing fresh rounds into the side feet of the Winchester, Jack approached the grisly bonfire and frowned at the sight of his leaf-shaped throwing blades mired in the crackling corpses of the deceased muties. The albino teen angrily worked the lever to prime the single-shot long blaster.
Damn good knives. Hate lose.
Blasters are better.
Jack sneered behind his sunglasses.
Gee, no reload blade. Silent, too.
You're preaching to the choir.
I prefer distance, and the farther away the better.
Talk with your boots, people.
Ryan continued walking along the perimeter of the city.
Jawing and yapping ain't getting us any closer to the surface.
Staying alert for any suspicious movements, the companions trudged along the base of the cliff, climbing over piles of pre-dark rubble and around a couple of deep chasms in the ground. The footing was treacherous, the pieces of the fallen dome constantly slipping away underfoot and often shattering at the first step. Soon the smoldering corpses of the stickies were left far behind, only a thin plume of smoke visible to mark the location for the circling vultures.
Freeze! Droid! 2 o'clock!
Everybody stopped moving at the words, and only shifted their eyes to search along the stores lining the nearby street. Halfway down the block was the damaged Sec Hunter droid, its eyes gone and its chrome body covered with quivering antennae. But the racing machine wasn't coming toward the companions. It was charging along the street, crushing the corpses in its way until going out of sight. JB rubbed the scar on his chin.
Dark night. I wonder what the fraggot's after.
Don't know, don't care. As long as it ain't us. Shift it into high gear, people. I want to be far from here when it returns.
The hours passed slowly as the day progressed, but the rising sun could do little to penetrate the thickening layer of turbulent clouds. Sheet lightning was crashing among the roiling orange and purple clouds with ever-increasing ferocity. A major storm seemed to be brewing, a real Texas tempest, but at least the telltale smell of rotten eggs wasn't in the wind, forecasting the arrival of a deadly acid rain. Walking carefully up the slope of a piece of the fallen dome, Ryan paused to scowl at something on the other side. Then the big man started forward, and as the rest crested the dome, they could see a body sprawled on the ground, its bandage-wrapped limbs splayed at angles, impossible for any living being.
A member of the Corps.
Christie squinted upward. There was no sign of any activity along the edge of the cliff, but the desert muties might be hiding like before. Mildred knelt to inspect the crumpled body.
No sign of a wound. He must have simply fallen from the top.
No, from that ledge!
Sure enough, only 50 feet above them was a rocky ledge in the cliff, an extension of a meandering crack that formed a kind of natural trail leading from the top. Ryan cracked the knuckles in both hands and grinned.
And there's our exit. No more than 50 feet max. We can do that easy.
Yeah, but we're dead meat if stickies attack while we climb.
Gotta take the chance. Okay, drop your packs. The lighter we are, the easier the climb. JB and I will stay behind to give cover. Once the rest of you reach the ledge, hitch your belts together and haul up the backpacks. Then cover us while we climb.
The simple plan needed no discussion, so divesting themselves of the haversacks and assorted shoulder bags, the five companions started feeling the details of the rock with their fingers. Finding small purchases, the friends wiggled the toes of their combat boots into some cracks and pulled themselves off the ground. Then, testing their positions, they reached high again to continue the seemingly endless process. Time was short, but they had to move slowly. They might only get one chance at this, and a single mistake would be deadly. A fall of 50 feet onto concrete would chill as fast as a round to the head. Taking a Molotov and a homemade pipe bomb from the bags for quick access, Ryan and JB readied their blasters and alternately watched the cliff and the burning pre-dark city as the others slowly began to ascend toward the ledge above and freedom.